Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, Brewers, and Bucks every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up by Wendy's
on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Download the Wendy's app today.
Let's go. This is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Thunder in for Sparky today. Sparky's off. I think he's already got the slow cooker going, whatever food he's prepping, maybe a pulled pork or something like that for the Super Bowl. I don't know. I don't know what Sparky eats for the Super Bowl.
I feel like Fridays are usually his pizza day with his family. So if everybody's feeling, you know, a little under the weather, maybe they say pizza day for Sunday then. I feel like that's the vibe that's going to happen.
That could work. Again, we're taking what are you eating on Sunday? We want to hear what you're eating for the Super Bowl. 414-677-1250, the Nicolay Law talk and text line. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all, from the Green Bay Press Gazette, longtime Packers beat reporter Pete Doherty. Pete, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. What's going on today?
You know, we got a football game in a couple days, so thought we'd catch up. I especially was interested. I know you've covered the Packers for quite some time, and both general managers in this game have long history with it, come from the Green Bay Packers front office tree. So I was curious to pick your brain a little bit about these two gentlemen, and we could start on the Seattle side of things. John Schneider obviously has been with Seattle for a long, long time, but was a protege of Ted Thompson and is very highly respected throughout the NFL, now has a second generation of Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. What do you remember about his time with the Green Bay Packers, and did you know that he had longtime general manager in the NFL destined in front of him while he was with the Packers?
The funny thing is, or the even stranger thing is, both of those guys went to the same high school, basically. Schneider went to DePere Pennings, and then a couple years, I think a year or two after he graduated, DePennings combined with Green Bay Promontory to form Green Bay Notre Dame.
Gotcha.
And that's where Elliot Wolf went, was Green Bay Notre Dame. So basically they kind of went to the same high school too. You could tell, you know, early on that John Schneider was, you know, very ambitious and loved football. And he got promoted, you know, he bounced around a little bit and he got promoted quickly. So I think it was, you know, pretty obvious he was going to get a shot as a GM. You just never know how somebody's going to do till they actually sit in the chair. And of all the Wolf proteges, I would say he's the closest in temperament and approach to Wolf. Wolf was really aggressive, and I think, you know, Schneider and Dorsey were the most aggressive.
Yep.
Of all these proteges coming out. Schneider, you could tell he believes in his evaluations, and he really goes for it. And, you know, that's who he is. And, you know, he's built that team up twice. You know, they took a pretty big tumble when the Legion of Boom guys aged out. They, you know, they slipped quite a bit. And, yeah, you know, within a couple really good drafts, he's built them right back up.
Well, and I think it says something. I don't know if it says something about him or if it says something about Seattle's ownership, that once the Legion of Boom went away, you know, he was able to get quite a bundle for Russell Wilson and turn things around. And they didn't cut ties with him, even though Seattle did have a few lean years there. You know, to you, what does that say about John and what he's been able to build there in Seattle?
Yeah, he must have a great relationship with ownership. Now, I think Seattle might have the most hands-off ownership in the NFL, from what I had heard. Basically, the edict over there is do whatever you want, just don't lose money. You know, they basically have to break even on the budget.
Okay.
And that's it. So I think all this stuff is Schneider. All these moves are Schneider. He did kind of push Pete Carroll out, and Carroll was the one who hired him. But, you know, it looks like he made a really good hire with McDonald's. So yeah. They're right back there. I mean, they're not just a good team, they're a young team too.
Right. Pete Doherty joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. And from all accounts, I mean, I never had the opportunity to meet him, but you know, he's a good family guy, involved in the community. You know, I think as Wisconsinites, we like to say like that's something that he learned during his formative years in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, he likes to. He gives off this vibe, like you see him at the combine, especially, or at the owners' meetings. You know, he gives off this vibe of almost like a college student or college, you know, maybe a college professor. He carries around a backpack and he's, you know, a little disheveled, and you know, he doesn't dress up ever. And I think he's got a beard right now, and his hair is always mussed up. And he just has this casual. He gives off this really casual vibe.
Yeah.
But underneath that lurks, I think, a guy who burns really hot for, you know, he's ambitious and he wants to win and he's really competitive and works hard.
Absolutely. And so we go from John Schneider, who's general manager, and I think he's what now, the executive or he's the president of football operations and GM. He got a 4-year extension this offseason, so clearly that's paying off. And then we flip over to Elliott Wolf, and we know, his dad left a huge legacy with the Green Bay Packers, and it took Elliott a little while to kind of find a home in the NFL, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, he started scouting at, you know, his first internship, he was 14 or 15.
I believe
he had an internship. He had it with a different team, but he was, you know, his dad was bringing him. He showed huge interest in it as a kid. He was coming to the Packers offices as a 9 or 10 year old. I think he sat out. He was 11 or 12 when he sat through his first, you know, the draft meetings are about 3 weeks. I think it's either 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And he sat through draft meetings for the first time when he was 11 or 12. So this stuff is just, you know, he's just absorbed this stuff through his central nervous system, you know? I mean, it's like a coach's kid in basketball. He's been wrapped up in this stuff all his life. So I think he's only, he's the early 40s,
yeah,
I think.
43, I think.
Yeah, and he's way more experienced than his years would suggest.
Sure.
And he got a serious look, as you know, when they hired Gutekunst, it was basically him, Gutekunst or Russ Ball. And when he didn't get that, you know, the Packers had prevented him from getting a shot at the Detroit GM job, which he was supposedly the front runner for, and they blocked it. So, you know, I think he, you know, when he didn't get the Packers job, it was kind of foregone that he was going to leave, and he went to Detroit, or he went to Cleveland with Dorsey.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. And then he worked for Belichick. So he's had some experience outside this organization too. But from what I understand, he's basically got them running his dad's scouting system. And, you know, there was some question about whether he'd actually be drafting the players and picking the players, because Vrabel brought in a guy with him.
Okay.
But everything I heard is, just checking around with people in the league, is that the May draft was that was all Wolf because Vrabel wasn't around. And even last year, he's the GM. Now Vrabel runs the organization. You know, he's the top guy, but Wolf is the head of personnel, and he's the one, you know, making those decisions and having the greatest influence on you know, who they pick and who they sign.
Pete Doherty joining us here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. And I think that's kind of interesting that, you know, Elliott got to New England in 2020, and that was right as Brady was leaving the organization. Couple bad years that as a consultant and then director of scouting, Elliott made it through that. And then last year they get rid of Mayo, after who had been groomed to be the coach, and bring in Vrabel, and Elliott survived that. And now obviously things have turned out really well for the New England Patriots this season.
Yeah, clearly, I mean, the Crafts must have thought, you know, Belichick must have liked him because he promoted him. And the Crafts clearly liked him because, you know, I think he helped with the coaching search, even though it was their decision. And, you know, they made sure that he still had a position, a high up position in the organization. That it speaks well to, you know, Elliott Wolf's ability to work with other people. It sounds like things have gone really well with him and Vrabel, you know, handing him Drake May certainly helped. I mean, that's a quadruple grand slam when you pick a quarterback like that, second year, and the guy, what was he, runner-up for MVP probably? So, the Crafts must have really thought highly of to make sure that he was kept around when they hired Vrabel.
So when we look at this Ted Thompson, you know, we talk so much in football of the coaching trees, right? And who's from whose coaching tree. But looking at this Ted Thompson tree of John Schneider with the Seahawks for a long time. Now, again, as we mentioned, his second incarnation of a Super Bowl team. Elliot Wolf is now the GM of the Patriots. The Lions haven't made the Super Bowl, but you can't discount the Lions' turnaround over the past few years and what they've been able to do after really being the laughingstock of the league for years and years and years. And John Dorsey is there with the Detroit Lions. There's really something to be said for these guys who've done a pretty good job in the NFL coming from that Thompson general manager tree.
Yeah, I'd actually put I'd put Schneider and Dorsey much more under the Wolf, Wolf umbrella than Ted. Gutekunst is definitely, a Ted guy.
Yep.
And Schneider straddled it, but I think the more I still would say the more that the person who had more influence on Schneider was Wolf.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
But it's all the same. It's all the same tree. I mean, it goes directly from Wolf to branches out to Thompson and Schneider and Dorsey, Reggie McKenzie too. And then you got Gutekunst. I mean, that's just amazing that, Ron Wolf came to the Packers in 92, and he retired in, 01, I think. And here we are 25 years later, and people from that, two guys from that tree are meeting in the Super Bowl. That's one of the reasons why Wolf is in the Hall of Fame is because, he's him and Holmgren. That's both the amazing thing about that those 90s teams is the coaching and scouting trees that came out of that was just exceptional front office and coaching talent that was coming through here at that time.
No doubt about it. Pete Doherty joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. So we look at what's going on with the Packers right now, and I know you're pretty locked in. We finally got the announcements that the signings had been made. There have been a number of coaches who have left the organization. A number went with Halfley. Obviously, Sean Mannion went to Philly. There's a new defensive coordinator in town. What do you make of some of the changes during the offseason, and what was your initial thoughts about Goody and LaFleur specifically after the collapse in the playoffs against the Bears?
I thought going after that game, I thought the safer person was Gutekunst. Mm-hmm. And I thought, 52-48, 55-45, that LaFleur, we had no history of a policy to go on. So I don't know what I was basing this on other than, just a new guy wanting his new stamp. And I thought just a slight better chance at 50-50 that LaFleur would be let go. I wondered if that last loss would be a little too much. But it sounds like, policy just really liked the way those guys worked together, and he wasn't going to let one game or a couple of bad games at the end of the year dissuade him from what he felt like he saw earlier in the year. I'm sure the injuries, were a big factor in his decision. I mean, obviously the Parsons one. So I was, mildly surprised they kept him, but, to do a 1 or 2 year extension would have been a half measure, and I think the worst of all worlds. So, if he was going to do it, then he probably should have done what he did, which was, I have to guess he's got either 4 or 5 years on his contract, including, starting with 26.
Yep.
But Gutekunst, I thought, would be back, regardless, no matter what.
Okay. And I want to ask about John Eric Sullivan and what you think. He goes to Miami and he takes Halfley. From a football perspective, is Miami going to be one of those teams a few years from now? We think about, that was the Packers tree. Yep. Or, is that a positive situation for those guys?
It's a franchise that has a lot of resources, and I've heard nothing but good things about John Eric Sullivan from people in the scouting world. I think he was basically, he was very influential. You know, when Gutekunst was evaluating guys, this is a guy he leaned on really heavily. I think he's a really good talent evaluator. So it was just a matter of time before he got a job. If you've seen him in his press conferences at the draft, you know, he comes across really well. So you never know until they sit in the chair. And, you know, ownership can be very, you know, you're at the mercy of their whims. And, you know, if things don't go well, some of these owners make fast changes. But he's a really talented guy. And, yeah, you're right. It's just, you know, it's funny. It's another, you know, another guy in the wolf tree who's, you know, that tree just keep the roots keep going, going farther. The branches keep going higher, I guess is the better way to say it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pete Doherty joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. Pete, do you have any thoughts about the game on Sunday? Are you going to be watching? What are you going to be eating? I ask everyone that what they eat during the Super Bowl. And, do you have a prediction for us?
I'll definitely be watching. I'll be eating chili.
Okay, nice.
Made with bison. I don't know if you've ever had bison.
I've not had really bison good. Chili. I've had bison, but I haven't had bison chili. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, it's just, you know, as well as New England is playing and Drake May is, you know, for a second-year guy, man, he just looks great. The Seahawks are just playing so well.
Yeah.
And they have so much talent. You know, you can't name guys on their defense. You can't name many of them, but they're just a young, really talented defense. And Darnold is playing well. So I you know, for good reason, they're what, a 5 or 6 point favorite. So yeah, pretty hard to not pick the Seahawks in my mind.
And you mentioned Darnold. So do you think do you think it cost the general manager in Minnesota his job, not just what J.J. McCarthy did this year, but how well Darnold played? And do you think there's a little, as a Packers fan, it's tough to root for Seattle because of their, you know, their shared history in the playoffs. But there is a little like, oh, if Darnold does well, we can rub it in the face of Vikings fans a little bit.
Yeah, they keep saying it wasn't that one decision. But the thing is, if Darnold was there, and with how poorly, you know, McCarthy played and how bad their quarterback play was, you know, if Darnold's their quarterback, they're probably winning the double-digit games. And if they're in the playoffs, you know, would they be firing the GM? Probably a lot less likely. So, yeah, that was a huge decision. And then they botched it.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, thank you so much for jumping on today. I just thought I was really interested in just Schneider and Wolf and that, you know, that they're both from the Packers tree and they're meeting in the Super Bowl and hopefully Goody can get there in the next couple of years. But I knew that you'd have the lowdown on their background and, you know, what they got through to get to where they are today. So I appreciate your perspective and jumping on the show today.
Yeah, it was funny. Gutekunst had a line at the at his press conference a couple of days ago where he said, you know, I can't remember if he said I think he might even said he doesn't watch the Super Bowl. And he said, you know, I'm usually just hoping, you know, both teams lose because, you know, he's not there. But he said, you know, this one's different because, you know, these are friends of his and former colleagues. So, you know, it was basically doesn't matter who wins. He's happy for whoever. But you could tell that that five-game losing streak at the end of the season is really gnawing at that organization. So, yeah, interesting game on Sunday and interesting times coming up this offseason. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I know you're a regular with Sparky on Wisconsin Sports Daily, and I don't know if you know or not, but I co-host the Mason Crosby Show. So Mason and I will definitely have you on during the offseason as we need some updates from what's going on up at 1265. How's that sound?
Yeah, that'd be great. I look forward to talking to you.